Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you would not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. I kindly repeat after me. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you would not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Purport. It is sometimes found that one comes to a devotee or a temple of the Lord just to get some material benefit. Such a person is described here as a mercantile man. Bhagavad Gita speaks of artho jigyasur artharthi. The word artha refers to one who is physically distressed, and artharthi refers to one in need of money. Such persons are forced to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for mitigation of their distress or to get some money by the benediction of the Lord. They have been described as Sukriti, pious, because in their distress or need for money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. Unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, although a pious man may receive some material benefit, one who is concerned with material benefits cannot be a pure devotee. When a pure devotee receives material opulences, this is not because of his pious activity, but for the service of the Lord. When one engages in devotional service, one is automatically pious. Therefore, a pure devotee is anya bilashita shunyam. He has no desire for material profit, nor does the Lord induce him to try to profit materially. When a devotee needs something, the Supreme Personality of Godhead supplies it. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Sometimes materialists go to a temple to offer flowers and fruits to the Lord because they have learned from Bhagavad Gita that if a devotee offers some flowers and fruits, the Lord accepts them. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, the Lord says, Patram pushpam palam matoyam yame bhaktya pranarsati tadaham bhaktya paritam asnami prayatat manaha. Translation. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus a man with a mercantile mentality thinks that if he can get some material benefit, like a large amount of money, simply by offering a little fruit and flower, this is good business. Such persons are not accepted as pure devotees because their desires are not purified. They are still mercantile men, even though they go to temples to make a show of being devotees. Sarvapadhi binirmuktam tatparat vena nirmalam. Only when one is fully freed from material desires can one be purified. And only in that purified state can one serve the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. This is a pure devotional platform. Advaita Chandrapu. Can you get my jacket? It's cold in London. My jacket. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you. It's okay. I'm just coming from Cambodia, where the weather is a little bit different than here in London. We have a very, of course, the whole Bhagavatam is full of nectarine instructions for all of us, teaching us, reminding us that unless we come to the platform of pure devotional service, unless we become like personalities such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was described, I was just reading briefly in the previous verse, as Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect personality. Siddha is actually the natural constitutional position of all living entities. The vast majority of them, as we know, never come to this material world and therefore remain Nitya Siddha. We hear from the Goswamis how most of us who come here in the material world, we become affected and contaminated by the modes of material nature. And therefore, if we are fortunate to come in contact, especially with devotees of the Lord, we can learn about the process of sadhana siddha. Three levels of siddha are instructed by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nitya siddha, which you all read about yesterday. Sadhana siddha, which is the general standard process for most, 99.9% of those who are in the material world. And then, of course, there is Kripa Siddha, third category, which is very, very rare and awarded in very unique, special cases by the Lord. So most of us actually need to know about sadhana siddha, the beginning level of bhakti is this sadhana siddha, sadhana bhakti, we call sadhana bhakti. And since a few minutes ago, just before the class, whoever announced that Bhakti Raghava Swami would be giving a class this morning on Daivi Varnashrama, it's actually this evening. But since the seminar this evening will be on Varnashram, it's also good to maybe make a few connections and start the seminar a little early. and touch on a dimension which for some devotees is possibly controversial or at least not clear regarding Varnashrama Dharma and how within the context of sadhana bhakta or sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, as we all know, those who are living in our temples, those who have come in contact with devotees, with the process of devotional service, is that level, that process where we follow very rigidly, we are meant to follow very rigidly the various rules and regulations given in the Shastra, given by our various acharyas, which, if nicely applied and followed, will actually purify us sufficiently to rise to higher levels of bhakti and attain ultimately the highest platform, the level of pure bhakti or spontaneous, what we call raganuga bhakti. Varnashrama Dharma is also a system having many rules and regulations, and it can be very helpful for devotees to see these rules and regulations of Varnashrama Dharma as part of sadhana bhakta, or sadhana bhakti rather. Sadhana bhakti is meant to gradually bring us more and more to the platform of goodness. Because bhakti, pure bhakti, cannot be performed unless one is at least fixed up in the mode of goodness. And therefore, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that very wonderful series of verses, beginning with Srinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtana, That by this beginning process of hearing about the Lord, about the Lord's qualities, about the Lord's pastimes, about the Lord's abode in the spiritual world, about the Lord's devotees as well, then immediately the process of purification actually begins. And the process of purification entails giving up gradually, becoming distanced more and more, becoming distant from the lower modes of material nature, tamagun and rajagun, and become situated in goodness, not immediately in pure goodness, but in goodness. Prabhupada one time explained how goodness means strictly following the four rules and regulations. Goodness, mode of goodness. If one actually applies, follows, as we promise, when one takes initiation, one takes the vows, formal vows, as we all know, to follow these four rules and regulations. So unless one actually factually follows these four rules and regulations, forget about pure devotional service. Even forget about the mode of goodness. Not possible. So mode of goodness is, in many ways, we could say, preliminary. It's a preliminary level. Means following these four rules and regulations is preliminary to getting an opportunity to rise and to enter into the realms of pure bhakti or pure devotional service. that's also nicely explained in one of those verses. Evam prasanamanaso. Very wonderful, deep meanings as well to so many of these verses actually in the Bhagavatam. Evam prasanamanaso. Mode of goodness means the mind is prasanna, mind is peaceful. Prabhupada would explain also, devotee means someone who is happy. If the mind is not peaceful, it cannot be happy. So, symptoms of peacefulness, symptoms of happiness, must emanate from devotees. If one actually is applying the process, then one gradually may take a little longer time. So many factors are there. But gradually one must come to this platform of peaceful mind, you know, being able to sleep at night without taking sleeping pills or whatever people do nowadays. So evam prasanamanaso bhagavat bhakti yogata. Only, Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport, only when one has developed a peaceful mind can one actually nicely engage in bhakti, in devotional service. Evam prasanamanaso bhagavat bhakti yogata. And then Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. This is very important actually. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam has to do with higher levels of realization which Krishna will reveal. Just like another important verse in the Bhagavatam. When one factually engages in devotional service, then this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, ahaituki, causeless knowledge, vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayati asuvairagyam jnanam chayada ahaitukam. So, in the same way, that all of these rules and regulations within sadhana bhakti are necessary for us to gradually become purified and to become situated by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of His devotees, on the platform of natural, spontaneous devotional service, raganuga bhakti, which will bring us to the topmost level of what will be sadhana bhakti. So this whole process or system of varna and ashrama, actually most of us, it's like anything else, you know, it takes some time for so many things to kind of sink in, as we say, you know. Krishna bhakti, that's also nice to explain. Krishna bhakti nitya siddha, isn't it? This Krishna bhakti is the nitya siddha of the eternal perfection, natural perfection of all living entities. Krishna bhakti nitya siddha. Sadhya kabunai sravanadi sudarshiti karai udai. Again, by this process of hearing especially. So, what we generally fail to understand as devotees, and we'll be touching on that a little bit more this evening during the seminar, is that this nitya siddha characteristic of Krishna bhakti, the eternal feature of the soul situated in Krishna bhakti. Krishna has given us also on the conditional platform, on the platform of not being nitya siddha. He has given us a standard. We could call it nitya process also. You know, whatever knowledge that comes from Krishna is eternal knowledge. Whatever process Krishna gives, that is a standard process. The point I'm trying to make is that in the same way that bhakti, pure bhakti, is a natural, standard, and eternal process for the spirit soul, the system that Krishna has also given of varnashrama dharma is the standard scientific process that needs to be adopted for actually facilitating. It is like a mechanism, the perfect ideal mechanism that will help one actually become situated and come to the level of being described here and referred to by Prahlad Maharaj. And in many places, actually not only Srila Prabhupada but our previous acharyas underline and stress the importance of both of these levels, although the level of bhakti in so many ways, the level of bhakti and the science of bhakti, science of pure devotion, is what is the most attractive and the one which is spoken about, glorified extensively in the Bhagavatam especially, and which has especially been stressed and demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to establish, he is known, if we read different texts from scholars, they refer to Lord Chaitanya as being that personality who has introduced the bhakti cult, isn't it? Science of bhakti. But in the same way, in a similar way that bhakti begins with sadhana bhakti, isn't it? We rare are those who immediately can be situated, unless you're a Prahlad Maharaj. You know, there are not so many Prahlad Maharajas in the material world. Unless one is already Nitya Siddha, one doesn't manifest or display activities or symptoms of pure bhakti. So all of us are meant to begin at the level of sadhana bhakti, and it is closely connected, because within varnasrama. And of course, it's like, you know, bhakti, anyone who is newly coming to bhakti, it's like it's a whole world. It's a whole brand new world, you know. Terminologies, ideologies, the philosophy, there's so many things. So in a very similar way, within varnashrama dharma, and very often devotees kind of leave it aside, thinking that, well, it's only bhakti after all. Yes and no. You know, it is not so easy to immediately take up. Actually, it is not possible. It is not possible for the vast majority of living entities. And even, and I'll finish on this point actually, personalities like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a very profound and powerful statement when he mentions that even those who are Vaishnavas, who are practicing Vaishnavas, their advancement in spiritual life, their progress in devotional service will be more easily enhanced or easily attained by remaining within the confines of varnasrama. So it is not that it is a separate kind of thing. There are many aspects, of course, to this. Our goal, of course, is to attain this level being described here, where one completely disconnects with any idea of personal profit, the mercantile mentality being described here, and very exalted position of being totally, as described in the beginning of the Bhagavatam also, ahaitukya pratihata, you know, without any material motivation, and also without any interruption, means 24 hours a day. Our topics of Bhagavatam, especially our main topic of Bhagavatam, of course, is bhakti. The science of bhakti is very unending topic in so many ways, and so many angles are there, of course. We'll just touch on a few small things here. We can take possibly 5 minutes, because we're, if that clock is right, it's already telling 8:30. If there's any comment or questions, we'll be happy to.